But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had shaken him so that his attention is towards wording. Perhaps he must be engaged in something else, some other thought. The attention of the person, by you reading Qasr Namaz, 2 Rakat Namaz, Musafir Namaz all the time, what's your problem? So he says, the Hadith says, you must live in this world like a stranger, it's not your home. So when you're a Musafir, then how much Rakat you read? 4 Rakat, 2 Rakat. So he didn't look at the Hadith, he just took a wild chance. And the meaning that came to his mind, he applied that. Had the hadith stated, "Kun fi dunya fa innaka ghareeb," it was something else. Ya is ka annaka ghareeb. Not fa innaka ghareeb. He is not showing the illness, it's showing tashbih. The poor person couldn't differentiate between ta'lil and tashbih. Traveling. I've come home and I'm traveling again. Just now, one day's time, I'm traveling again. So I'm a musafir. Now, he hasn't understood the Shari'i definition of a musafir. What does the Shari'at define a musafir as? So he needs to understand what is the Shari'i definition of a musafir. The blessings of self-study, you see. Study yourself, you come across one word, and that word has a literal meaning. The technical meaning is something else, and you apply the literal meaning, and you confuse yourself and confuse others. Some days back, one school teacher, Islamic school teacher, he was here, so he says, he was delivering a lesson to a high school class, matric, which was at 9. He was explaining the concept of infinity. After 1, if you add zeros, then you can go on to infinity. So after the class, the headmaster, that was also a Muslim, the headmaster called him up and says to him that you have made and you have committed an act of kufr. You are guilty of kufr. So the teacher asked him, what wrong have I done? He said, no, you spoke about infinity. And being infinite is just the quality of Allah Ta'ala, and nobody else is infinite. Now, he got shaken up, everything else, and he came here. Now the teacher says that I'm kafir now. The master says I'm kafir because I spoke about a makhluk, a creation being infinite. And infinite is the quality of Allah Ta'ala. So I asked him now, speak to the person according to his level of understanding. If you speak above his level of understanding, then he won't grasp the concept. It will just fly across. So I asked him, by how long are you going to live in Jannat? If you have to enter into Jannat, how long? Infinite. So then you are a makhluk, you are a creation, and in spite of being a creation, you're going to live permanently in Jannat. This is why you removed a big burden off my head. But then what's the answer? How must I answer this person? You know that the answer is there, but now how do you answer this person? So I told him that, see, he's translated the word Qadim as infinite. The translation or the definition that he's given is not right. The definition is of Qadim is one who's got no beginning, no end, number one. And number two is he is Qa'im Bizzat. Qa'im Bizzat. That he has an independent existence. He's got no beginning, no end, and he's got an independent existence. Everything else in this world, does it enjoy an independent existence? Nothing. In Jannat, wherever, here or the hereafter, nothing has an independent existence. The existence is on account of the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the command of Allah Ta'ala. You exist because of His command. You don't exist independently of Allah Ta'ala. That is why it is important for ulama-i-kiram to learn mantik. Don't learn mantik and small things. People will just fail you, just sweep you off the ground. And now you're trying to worry, now you're trying to work it out. Now, what is the answer to this? Whereas you just have to add a little bit, one, two arguments here, there, and simply you'll get that answer. But now, in the madrasas, they have given it 3 talaqs, irrevocable. Irrevocable, you can't come back. Go for good, you can't come back. You must learn it. You must know how it applies. Learn it and understand how it applies. The hadith as well. To understand the hadith, you need to have a little bit of mantik. To understand hadith, fiqh, etc. Like I told you, kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb. And that person is making kasar namaz all the time. Now, how are you going to explain this person? If you didn't do mantik and all that, then how are you going to explain this person? So you'll have to learn a little bit of mantik, logic, reasoning. You have to have a little bit of reasoning, and with the reasoning ability, you'll be able to satisfy that person. Otherwise, the doubt is instilled in his mind, and to extract the doubt becomes very difficult. Because remember, for the doubt to be instilled in him, to extract the doubt is very difficult. Like one student from Cape Town 3 years ago, he had a swim in Cape Town beach somewhere, extremely exhausted and tired and sweating. Came home and he saw some, like a cold drink bottle, and he had some type of a green liquid resembling cream soda. It must have been some detergent, whatever it was. He went and drank the thing. The moment he drank just one sip, and this whole gullet of his burnt, and he choked, fainted, rushed him to hospital and all that. The throat of his burnt out totally, that would cut some of his guts or something, or his intestine, and stick it up the side. So what I'm saying is, to be poisoned with the doubt is very simple, but to treat it after that is very difficult, very, very difficult. It's not an easy thing. Look, now they talk about AIDS and all that, right? Sexually transmitted sicknesses. To contact it is very easy, it's not difficult. Right? Perhaps you got a wound or something, and you touched someone, or you touched another person's saliva, or he's bleeding, whatever it was, and you got affected. So to get affected is very easy. But then to get it out of the system, it's a very difficult thing. It's not an easy thing at all. that is one problem. One is that people don't understand, they don't have the ability to understand, like I explained yesterday as well. That student is going to Muradabad, and he writes a letter to Mullah Tanya Bari. Here, there's bidat here. Why there's bidat? Bidat is because there's too much of system. Everything is a system. And I had explained earlier on that Mawlana had a system because he had hundreds of work to attend to. So he's got a system that will enable him to see to the different responsibilities that he has. And he's got no system, then how is he going to do work? Now he's got a time, for example, to do his writing of kitabs, right? He's editing kitabs. He's got a time for correspondence. He's got a time for people's problems. He's got a time for his wife. He's got a time for his relatives. Right? So now if he's got no system, will he be able to cope with all these different things? He can't. He'll have to keep his mind farigh, dedicated for that work at that time. Then only can he cover all that work. But if he doesn't have a system in him, then it's going to be a genuine problem. And this is not against the hadith, because the hadith also speaks about system. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثِ You come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at an invitation you come. Now, the invitation is over, you have eaten. So, فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثِ So now, after you have eaten, the purpose that you have been invited for is accomplished. So get up and disperse. Now don't engage in talks. Why? Now that's an intizami thing. That's an intizami thing related to administration. Thing related to nizam, system, administration. Inna dhalikum kana yu'zin nabi. Now this thing, it hurts the nabi. It causes pain to the nabi. The Nabi has got other work. Now he has to see. He's got hundreds of work to see. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا Nabi has got hundreds of things to see. At this occasion, he's got his wife, and she's just married. She's just come into the house. Right. Now she needs Nabi's attention, and she will only be able to receive Nabi's attention when the guests are gone. Now imagine a woman came to the house. She's married to you. Now, instead of you giving time to her, you are giving time to the guest. Then, obviously, it becomes difficult to cope. How is she going to cope? And especially in those days, it was even more difficult because the homes were not designed like how the homes are designed today. It was just one single room. So, if the wife has come, she's sitting in one corner, whilst other people are eating. In the next corner of the house, everybody is eating. So, she's sitting here, and the guests are sitting here. So, obviously, she's going to sit towards the wall. How long is she going to sit towards the wall? They have sat and eaten 1 hour, 2 hours. Now, isn't she going to feel frustrated? So, and Nabi Sam has brought her into his marriage. So, isn't he going to feel something? So, they need to realize that now it's time up. So, we have eaten, the purpose why we are called is over, so we must get up and carry on. The theme, the illat is what? The illat is inconvenience. The system that you got, Quran is speaking about a system. That system means that the work has been accomplished, now get up and move. Right? The work has been accomplished, so get up and move. That's the system. Purpose of the system. The purpose of the system is to avoid any complication. Right? See, you have the government, right? The government will have different departments. Right? It will have a clinic. Right? Then it will have a roads department. Now, if the government doesn't have any system, so you'll say that you'll complain to the roads department. So why that the government clinic is not working rightly? But it's not our problem. The government has got different systems. It's called all different departments. I am in charge of the clinic. I'm not in charge of the roads department. Now you come and ask me. Now you say, that's bidat. Maybe sometimes they didn't have all these things. Yes? The reason why they have the department is because of convenience, right? All these things are within our mind, but we just that we don't apply our mind. See, there are certain things that we started off, and these things that we start off is not considered as part of deen. It's like we have here, all right, at 9, 10 o'clock we have a talim, right? So this is convenience. Now someone says that Nabi Sallam's time they didn't have it like this, so therefore this is bidat. What were you talking about? It's out of convenience. The act was there, but the way it's constructed, that this time you'll do this, that perhaps must not, is not here. So you won't call this a bidat. Otherwise, perhaps there'll be everything, anything and everything that you would declare as bidat. Now look at it. You got namaz timings, right? We got namaz timings. Fajr namaz at 5:30, right? Isha namaz 7:35, right? And Zuhr namaz 12:15. Right? So now, Rasulullah's time, did they have this type of stipulation of time? See? They didn't have the stipulation of time. There wasn't the clock in the first place. So how could they have stipulated time? So there was no stipulation of time. Right? Now there was no stipulation of time, and now you stipulating time, that this time Zuhr namaz is going to start. So would you say that this is bidat? What would you say? You won't say it's bidat, it's convenience. That the greater part of the community may not miss out their namaz. They know, alright, more or less, the jamaat is going to start at 12:15, so I need to be in readiness before the time that I get my jamaat. Otherwise, now it's going to be difficult. People don't know what time namaz is going to be starting, so they may miss out their namaz. So this has been introduced. Introduced for what? Introduced as a convenience. Yeah, right. So these things that have been introduced in the deen as a convenience, you don't call that a bid'at. You don't consider it as farz. Right. You don't consider it as a farz. You just do it out of convenience, out of ease. So this is where people go off. They can't understand, they don't differentiate. And they just listen to one term, not listen to the term. Right. One person heard, Char din ki chandani hai, phir andheri raat hai. What? Char din ki chandani hai, phir andheri raat hai. One poet is talking about the world, right? What is he saying about the world? Char din ki chandani hai, phir andheri raat hai. It's just 4 days of glitter and glamour, then it's a dark, dark night. In other words, you live in the world 3-4 days, and after that, it's a darkness of the grave. English is how we don't translate. So, he was there. Passed and he's still parking at the house of his in-laws, of his mother-in-law or father-in-law. The father-in-law says, bhai, 2 days already passed now, you better move it up. So he says, no, didn't you hear? Chandini here. It's only 4 days. The whole life of this world is only 4 days. So just one part of the life is ended. This is how the other 3-4 days will finish. Then the whole worldly life will end up. Life of the world will end up. So now, you pick up something and you apply it somewhere else, you don't know the correct and the true application, obviously you will create problems. That's why they say that the knowledge has to be very sound. And the knowledge to be sound, 2 things you have to learn. You have to learn usul first. Usul al-shashi, all these things. Not usul al-shashi and nur al-war, etc. Not to make your brains up. Apply things correctly. Alright, you know this word here. What is the definition? You know the system of definition, how it applies. Where it comes and how it applies, you know it correctly, you know it exactly. One person gave his wife 3 divorces, you see. Teen talaq. So they told him it's irrevocable, broken down, you can't get back. So they went to another alim. How you have people, some people by the book, you know. They got book knowledge, but they don't have the understanding. Book knowledge is important, but the application is even more important. Book knowledge is important, but the application is even more important. How does it apply? So they went to him, and he says, no, these jahil people are ignorant. So he didn't say the word talaq. He said talaq. He said talaq, you know, the ta and a kaf. So the word talaq is a muhmal word. When it's a muhmal word, then talaq doesn't take place. Right? See the argument, eh? It's muhmal, there's no word like that, right? So because there's no word like that, so therefore the divorce does not take place. So now this person like another alim in this alim in Delhi. Delhi was like a center 200 years ago. So this alim here, he was also an alim, but he wasn't a muhakkik. But understanding was great. See, the understanding is greater than just tahqiq. Understand how it applies, where it applies, where it doesn't apply. Now, he has to answer this person here. Answer is in your mind. You don't have to check up Alamgiri and Tawa, Rahimiya and Shafiya and all the answers. So he says, well, if according to what you say, talaq is not valid, then in the first place, these people's nikah is not valid because it is 100% guaranteed. He didn't say nakahtuha. He said nakahtuha. Where he pronounced it, where he knows how to say the ha properly. He didn't say nakahtuha. When that Mulana told him to say Nakahtua, he didn't say that. He just Nakahtua and carried on. So the Nikah is not valid in the first place. What are you talking about, divorce? See, application. Understanding how it applies. Giving an example, giving an answer that will satisfy that khasm. The person is asking, making this type of problem, how to satisfy it. So this requires understanding, requires maturity, requires understanding, it requires application, how you apply this, how you apply to a situation. That requires a lot of knowledge, not knowledge, but a lot of understanding. Now, how people have become confused today is they've got a lot of information. But are they processing that information, applying it, understanding the situation, how to apply it, that they don't know. Therefore, any small case becomes a complication. You don't know what to do. Complicated. So anyway, we're talking of kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib. Remain in this world like a stranger. So this person, I was saying, that throughout his life, he's seeing Qasr namaz. He's asking, why am I traveling all the time? I'm home, I'm traveling, I'm out, I'm traveling. So I have to read 2 rakat namaz. So these Shari'i words, the words that are used in the Sharia, have got specific definitions. And if you don't take those definitions into consideration, then you can't understand anything. Right? You can't understand anything. Lips are meaning, what is it? Belief. Right? So a kafir also got some belief, isn't it? Does he have some belief or not? A fire worshipper, he's got some belief. A Hindu got some belief. A Christian got some belief. Right. But the Quran only says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Believing and righteous work. And there you got جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Belief and good works. And there you got جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. So if you don't know the exact meaning, it's a term, that the Quran is using a term, right? And if you don't know the term of the Quran Sharif, then obviously you're going to create a confusion. You're not going to understand how this thing works. Quran is referring to a specific type of faith, not any faith. Right? Now, very easily you'll get the answer now. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So if you have that in your mind, that Iman refers to a particular type of Iman, not any type of Iman, not any type of faith, a particular type of Iman. To believe in Allah Ta'ala, to believe in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to believe on the day of Qiyamah, to believe in Taqdeer. This is what you mean by Iman. Otherwise, literally everything is faith. So Iman refers to conform to that faith, we say that you have the faith. Now, simply you can say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ. This is a terminology of the Quran Sharif. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They'll get their reward with their Rabb. They will get their rewards by their Rabb. So very easily you can give the explanation to it. But if you don't know, then definitely you will fall into an error. So one is you need to know the definition, the application. And this you will get from Usul al-Shashi, etc. Nur Anwar. The definition of words and the application. A student must be such. We all need to consider ourselves as students. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعَقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. The Quran Sharif has got a lot of similes, a lot of parables and a lot of similes, examples, right? إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. But it's only the ulama that understand these similes and these parables and examples the Quran Sharif cites. So therefore, two ways. Qualified to call yourself an alim. Allah is explaining those similes. He's explaining the similes, and then you are taking out the time to try and understand how does it apply. Darabal Babu, Masalululaini, Ahaduhuma, Abukabu, Layakiru, Alashi. Or Darabal Babu, Masalan Qadiyatan, Kanat Amina. ضرب لكم مثلا من أنفسكم هل لكم مما ملكت إيمانكم من شركاء. Right. Cross these verses, but do you take out the time to think what simile is the question of here? Have I understood it? Have I grasped the meaning? How does it apply? Have I grasped the meaning? Yeah. Or I just made the third. That is why it's important. See, for a teacher, 2-3 days ago, Ustad of mine telephoned from Deoban, Mulla Khurshid Sabi. So, since Mulla Anzar Shah Sahib has passed away, so Bukhari Sharif has been given to him. So just in passing, I asked him, then how do you deliver? That was tried and it was tested, right? Rather than inventing your own, you take a method that is tried and tested, inshallah, you go well. So ask him how to listen. He says, first you look at the text and make a picture of the text in your mind. Ibarat, for example, in Mishnah. Text in your mind, alright. In that page, complicated in this street, in this page? The page that I've checked up, is there anything complicated, anything that is, that requires an explanation, anything that is not to the level of the understanding of the student? Then for that, either you understand it or you look at the sharah, the commentary, or it can find out on, is this referring? That's the second thing that you will check up. And the third thing is that you need to see is at the level of the class. Kallimu nasa ala qadri uqulihim. Construction of the hadith. And this is the level. What is the level of the class this year? More or less I gauge what is the level. Now, once you have gauged the level of the class, now you present the class. Now they will take it very well. So these are the three steps. First you take, you try and capture what the musallif is saying. When you capture this, now you presented the whole lesson. The teacher, the student read that ibarat. He read the ibarat now. Presented it before him. So it was Jalalain, for example, now. And there was one, like I said, Darbul Misal, right? Darbul Misal. So you explained it, alright, this is what the Quran Sharif is speaking about. In simple words, that ye baat unke dil ke teho mein baith jaye. He understands it very, very well. Right? He'll appreciate it, and the thing will go deep in his mind, you know, that I understood it now. See, when the child understands something, you'll find a glitter on his eyes. He understood it. There's a sparkle on his eye when he understands it. And if he hasn't understood it, then that eye remains still dark. It sparks. Sparks will fly when there is an understanding. But there is an understanding. Oh, the student will see others shaking their head. Yeah, no. Right, what you say is right. But he hasn't understood anything. So the simple thing is, capture it, and then talk at their level. You capture the whole lesson, talk at their level. But whichever kitab it is, well, the student will appreciate it, understand it, will appreciate it. And it's easy for him now to apply it. Right now, I can apply it very easily, very simply I can apply it. So the student also waits the lesson. You also teaching it a little bit of spirit. Otherwise, you just give Fa'ala, fa'alu, kya us ek mardne, kya do mardne, carrying on. He doesn't know what's happening, you don't know what's happening, and both of you all think, no, I know it, and he says, I know it, carried on. No, that's not the way. Understand exactly. Ability is very, very poor. There are several reasons why understanding the ability is on the decline today. I feel we are too absorbed in materialism, right? Too very heavily in materialism and technology, right? Cell phones, internet, television, right? Whatever technology we absorbed in that, right? So now you're reading up a lot of things. But you haven't seen it yourself how it works. Right? You haven't seen it. A real life experience you didn't have. You heard about it, that this is how a person reacts in a situation, that's all. But real life you haven't. When you're confronted with a real life situation, then you can't appreciate situations. You can't appreciate it. Right? Now you're only reading. You aren't confronted with situations. A simple example, you know, to understand this. When you didn't have an exposure, so what will be your reaction? Right? One and the same time, when you came into the house, one in your house and the child is crying his guts out in the other room, right? Third thing happening. And the fourth thing that's happening is one beggar is asking. He's asking for some help. And at the same time, there's a friend from around you. Now, five, six things have jammed you up by the same, one and the same. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to start off. So, today's person will be in a gabrat. He won't know what to do. And the person who's a little bit level-headed and composed, he'll say, all right, there's seven situations that are in my hand now. And I don't have to be brought, I don't have to be worried about it. I don't have to become worried and excited about it. I need to prioritize. See what's the priority. The Qari Sahib, he told his students, you know, that to get the tajweed right, you know, to get the pronunciation right, he told them, when you're talking to me, I was talking tajweed. Qari sahib, with all the qalqala and all that, you know, you must talk. So that it's an experience for those children. So, we have India now, a simple life, fire burning there, and one piece of fire, one ember, it flew at Qari's turban, back of his turban. Now, you're wearing big turbans, you know, and everything went up there. Nice big piece of fire. So the student was commanded to speak in Qiraat. So he's saying, Qari Sahib, Qari Sahib, Qari Sahib, aapke amama mein ek angara ur karke gir para. So by the time he completed the sentence, the whole turban of the Qari Sahib, he got burnt. Prioritize. To understand priority. What is the priority? You've got seven things all jammed up on you. On your head, everything came. The same thing happens. Doesn't it happen at home? Now, if you're not used to this, now you're shouting your child, you're shouting your wife, you're shouting at your mom. You've got no reason. You just come and any time, you know, you break your relationship with a friend of yours from America, and you just get out of my sight. So everything, no priority. You need to understand what is priority. Ikhtiyar. When you came without your ikhtiyar, how do I handle this? What do I do? What do I do first, second, third? How do I handle this? And get everything. These things, you have to explain these things. Yeah? Before, they were like natural. They were like man or even a woman, she's piled up with. On the internet, no exposure. What? Because the type of life you are used to. Because the why people get into it. Situation. To train our children like this. The child now, he learns to use his mind, he uses it. And you can see this before. Now, how to maneuver yourself? How do you take yourself out of the Allah, let him have. How do you bring us this? Unfit in this world as if you are a stranger? Well, don't trust anybody. isn't too much hope, and everything you fail. You get a heart. So you kept it, you used it with moderation, then generally you don't go off. Right? Use the thing, but use it with moderation. You don't go off. Perhaps he was not touring the line with the very young one. They threatened him. And they said, all right, if that's the case, then we will fix you up, you know. Humbly, he says, for us, our oil well, number one. We took back to the camel, and the date is easy. We led our grandfathers and ancestors. They led that type of life, so to return to life is not a difficulty. And then he was assassinated, killed after that. So even you are in pleasure and comfort. Don't forget that life of simplicity. Don't addict yourself to so much of comfort and so much of luxury that you feel, you know, how is life going to continue with comfort? Whatever situation, man must be such that you can adjust. Living in a 5-star, from the start, live on to a 0-star, be manageable, easy. Make yourself comfortable there, you make yourself comfortable here. That's a man. Situation you prepared for. Don't addict yourself. See, when you get addicted, you become dependent on any luxury. If you don't have the luxury, you don't have the how is my life going to continue? I don't have the luxury. The luxury became, you were dependent on luxury and comfort. Now it's not there. So now you feel depressed. Now, how am I going to continue life? You have to live a simple, plain life. But alhamdulillah, you can't. Not be abandoned and throw away the luxury, but don't become dependent. Don't put your heart to it. Don't attack your heart. As Ajit Ramdhar used to say, Napa Fajar Namaz. Then make. Right? Maybe an istima, you are traveling, whatever it is. And they. In a cold. That cool water. I will not use cool water at all. You'll do. You will not bother. And you will forego that fajr. Now and then, in that cold winter's morning, you have something. Mental not the world. You know, you're speaking about mujahada and riyadah. Mujahada is an effort to obtain something that is an effort, a struggle, a strive to exert yourself to do what? To exert yourself for what? To obtain something that is a command of Allah Ta'ala. An exertion to obtain the command of Allah Ta'ala. What? And you exerted yourself for what? To obtain the command of Allah Ta'ala. Like the command of Allah Ta'ala is, for example, don't look at haram, right? So your nafs is pining to see it. This, I can make it far after that. This, I have to see this. I have to see it. Right? The Zulu dance, you know, and those people are three-quarter naked with all their thumbs and dancing for King Zwelinthini, and he got 100 wives there. But must have been an opportunity of my life. After that, make istighfar. So the picture is so attractive, so captivating, capturing your heart and your mind. And you say no. Activate mujahada. That's called mujahada. The mujahada, the struggle to exert yourself for to obtain the command of Allah Ta'ala. Command of Allah Ta'ala, guard your sight. That is the mujahada. So that's called mujahada. This is just the mujahada. Right? One is jihad, etc. Other mujahada. Also type of, also to obtain, you struggled, you exerted yourself to obtain the right. And it's called riyazat, right? Riyazat, for mujahada you get a sawab because it is an ibadat, right? It's a direct sawab. Abstain, you lowered your sight, right? So you get sawab for that. Riyazat, you don't get sawab for. Directly, you don't get sawab for. Like I said, on a cold morning, you make wuzu with cold water, right? You don't want to get sawab for that. Because one has tried though indirectly, long may help you, it may assist you the command of Allah Ta'ala, but directly it is not a strive, it is not an exertion to obtain the command of Allah Ta'ala. Understand? Right? Same can be said about the Fadal Jamaat, right? You got a car, you got all the convenience, you got all the amenities, but you prefer going out Fadal Jamaat. Right? It's an exertion compared to moving in the car. But then now, why are you going through this exertion? Why are you exerting yourself? You're exerting yourself because there may be areas that, number one, we can't cover up with a car. Right? Or we need to train ourselves that if there was a situation like this where we can't afford traveling, car or aeroplane, then we can travel by foot as well, we can travel. Now you read that incident, Umar radiallahu anhu going to conquer Baitul Maqdis. And he and his slave both are sharing one single animal. And the way they have arranged that Umar radiallahu anhu will walk for one manzil. Right? One manzil was in that zamana approximately 16 miles. 16 is 48, isn't it? So three manzils make qasr, right? So approximately 16 miles. So Umar radiallahu anhu will walk for 16 miles while the slave will mounted for that 16 miles. And then it will be Umar radiallahu anhu, he will be mounted for 16 miles whilst the slave will be walking for that duration. Understand? So situations can come about for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's deen, you have to walk. And you haven't trained yourself to walk. What's going to happen? Is any of you challenging any of you? And any of you could walk 16 miles, that's about, I think, 22 kilometers, right, one day. I think for 2 days you have to stay. One week. There is someone to come and press your feet all the time. They will come right. Why you train? But that's a normal thing. That's a normal thing. I know in my infancy, my childhood, my father sometimes need to go see a doctor, right? From Spingo, he would go on foot right to Clearwood, about 10 kilometers on foot. He's got a headache or fever or something, he's going on foot and coming back. Now that's a normal thing. It wasn't that like a big thing, like, hey, 10 kilometers, he came back 10 kilometers. We used to be walking sometimes, many times, from Spingo right till the furthest end of Spingo Hills. That's about, you know, that high school there, right? I don't know what they call it, Spatodia or whatever. From here, it's about, I would say, 6 kilometers. Travel on the roads about 7 kilometers. We used to walk. And it wasn't a problem. Now you say, hey, the child must walk 7 kilometers. Just from 3rd Avenue to the school, the child by the car, delivered right to the school gate. They got so weak. Understand? So, situations will come about when you're striving and exerting yourself in the path of Allah Ta'ala, of using yourself. Do you have that type of stamina? Do you have the strength? You don't have the strength, you don't have the stamina. That's why one friend was saying that in Afghanistan also, they're saying the South Africans, "Bhai, you don't come here because to look after you, we need three Afghanis, four Afghanis to look after you. You're so weak. So we better off. We must fight the enemy or must look after you." See? So we spoiled ourselves. You see, you addicted yourself to luxury. Look at the madrasa. Just now, all the time you walked, walked and came to the madrasa. Now, there's two stories. Come in the car, go back in the car. Go in the car, come back in the car. Over a period of time, it must affect your health. Something happened. Body start blowing, bloating, something will happen. But why? You brought it on yourself. Eating well, sleeping nice, and then not using yourself. Right? You're not using yourself. What could happen? Your body is going to say, someday, somehow it's going to say. So, this is called Riyazat. One is called Mujahada, and one is called Riyazat. And the same thing, this logical same thing to do, is to train yourself both ways. Mujahada, that spiritual sicknesses, you know, like you said, you saw the wrong and you closed your eyes straight away. Then you didn't give yourself a second chance. Is there any lustful feelings in my heart? I'm looking at this girl now. Is there any lust? I'm trying to examine. But I don't think there's lust. Don't put yourself into that quagmire. You know, there's a doubt, just stay out, it's clear. Like I say, you know it's perhaps there's a 5% chance of that water being contaminated with AIDS. Now, will you put your hand there and say, "No, let's see." So it's the same here, that AIDS will affect your eyes just now. That spiritual AIDS will get your eyes, and then to extract it from the system becomes very difficult. You know, these spiritual sicknesses, they are the same. The effect of it is same like a cigarette or a drug, right? The cigarette, what happens to a cigarette? You say, "No, I'll have the last stuff, then I'll leave it out." You're saying you'll have the last stuff or the last drug. What will happen? The habit will become more and more firmly entrenched. Now to take it out is difficult. Although, for the time, it seems as though you don't have that inclination towards that girl again. Right? You saw that girl and you satisfied yourself, and now you don't have that type of urge again to look at her, right? On the surface, it seems as though you don't have the urge. But really, that urge hasn't died. The urge has become even stronger. Now you'll feel very, very restless, ghabrat. You must see it again. Tomorrow, I must see it again. All the time, I must see it again. That urge is like, you know, like you're watering a tree. You're watering a tree, right? So after 2-3 minutes, that water will evaporate. Now, have you strengthened the tree or have you weakened down the tree? The tree has become more strong. You watered the thing, now it's become more strong. Water has gone into the roots, and now it's called stronger. فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَهُ Now it's become strong. It's not become weak. So this is what happens with spiritual sicknesses. And when you try and experiment, don't ever experiment, whether it's a boy, it's a girl. Today is imtihan. Today, I think about it. What is the imtihan? The trial for this day and time. Spiritually, what day and time? Very strongly, I feel it is the eye and the tongue. The eye and the tongue. Right? And the reason for it is obvious. Is everywhere, wherever you go in the world today, immorality has become widespread. Right? Nobody has got the decency, respect, modesty, morality. Nowhere, right? Nowhere. And you know, the need to take care in this type of things is very, even for your own respect, your soul, your own respect. Now you lost control of your eyes. What happened? You had a kid, orphanage, you know, a small child, 4.5 years. That child had some problem in the anal passages. So we rushed the child to the court hospital. But a child was brought to us. After the child, he says that the child was abused at the age of 2, 2.5. He was now that damage that has been done to the child is irreparable, you can't repair it. But now, where it starts off from? It starts off from the eyes. Now, the child is looking a little bit more attractive, and the feelings in you are being aroused, going up, going higher, higher, higher. And then when you found the occasion, and then that child has to become the victim. Now the doctor says it's an irreparable damage, you can't get it. But you see, if that victim is caught, what a big punishment, right? Great, severe punishment, isn't it? Even this world, apart from the embarrassment. Looking after your eyes is not only a dini benefit, it's not only a religious benefit, even worldly wise, it's your own respect, your own integrity. استبرأ لدينه وعرضه. You have taken, you have respected, and you have got your own deen and your respect. That's the one thing. And the second, when I say looking after your eyes, one is, lustful things and haram things, right? But it's also important not to admire and not to stretch your eyes to too many beautiful things, beautiful house, beautiful car, all that. Don't admire too long. See now, just ignore the thing. See now, that motor car dealer, he's saying that they used to be selling brand new cars. They were selling approximately 300 a month. And now the sales have dropped from 300 to 1 a month. Now he says, we don't have that amount of money to even eat our basic expenses. Because of the credit act, what conspiracy? Conspiracy was to advertise that car. You advertise the car, now the public wants the car. They don't have the money, they go to the bank. So where that sin started off from the eye, you have to admire, oh, he's got that car, I need to have this car. Look at it, you don't admire. Use our tongues, we don't think, we don't understand, we don't try and work out what will be the consequence. I'm saying this, what will be the consequence? One is the harm as far as akhirat and hereafter is concerned, what destruction and ruin I'll bring to myself. Many a times we have that urge, the charge to do good things. But one inconsistent speech and that whole charge, everything is killed in one thing. See, one thing and the whole thing has been crushed. That's one speech, one wrong statement. So, the misuse, the abuse of the tongue, abuse of the eye, abuse of the tongue, apart from the other problems that it brings you, right? Now you're not careful of the use of the tongue, and you said some word. Now that person felt hurt, and he took offense, and he hit you, but where it came from, one tooth bust, one eye got bust, but where it came from, you were not thoughtful, you didn't think what you were speaking. You used to just blurting out whatever you want. So one is the tongue, and one is the eye. One sin of the tongue is, thoughtless speech, right? You don't think whether this is sinful, this is right, this is appropriate, not appropriate. Is it vain talk, not vain talk, right? I didn't think anything. Aage piche kuch nahi socha, and just let drive. Just let whatever comes, just drive it. Just mow it down. And the other sin that is connected to the tongue, that is not the main thing, the speech is the main thing, is then you got a lot of taste for tasty foods. Right. Now you want taste everywhere, and you crave for it. You don't have it, you want to have it. Somehow or the other. Right. So, in the whole roza, also, I was thinking, iftar time, someone was bringing some roast, and chicken, and it must be like, that chicken masala. Whole namaz also, eating of chicken, eating of whatever else, whatever food, biryani, that what. So whole roza is going, instead of you focusing to your work, focus now is to be to Allah Ta'ala, to ask Allah Ta'ala, to beg from Allah Ta'ala. Now your mind is just revolving around that. It's revolving around that. Mind has to be active. It can't stop. That's the mind's problem. That it one way, the chakra of the mind carries on. You try to stop it, you won't stop it. You can't. There's no robot that can stop the mind. Besides sleep, perhaps. You know, sleep can be that robot that can stop the mind. But otherwise, the mind is active one way. You don't involve it in good, in something else it will carry on. So now, what type of food? And you saw someone perhaps is wearing on kurta, now I must get that kurta. But you got a shoe, now I must get that shoe. Right. So, look after these two things. Eyes and the tongue. And apart from what you will earn, you know, for these two things, one is you will get jannat. You will get jannat, like the hadith says, that Allah will give you jannat. Look after these two things, Allah will give you jannat, right? But apart from the jannat, even worldly wise, you will save yourself from, I think, at least over 85-90% of problems. Oh, so the problems start off here or here. The vain talk. Unnecessary talk. Where that unnecessary talk starts off? When you only want to meet, when you want to talk, when you want to sit with people, you want some company, some type of thrill, and you want some type of excitement. So you can't hear yourself. Now, when you go in and talk to someone, you need to speak to someone, you heard some ghibat. Didn't you hear some ghibat? Didn't you engage in some backbiting? Something or the other must come your way. It can't be that you mix up and you don't get any ghibat. It must be some ghibat. Some wrong talk. But that is because of your urge to go and meet, associate, socialize. Right? You went and socialized, now you have to bear the consequence of it. And remember, like meeting people, right, socializing with people, there's no genuine need. When there's a genuine need, obviously you have to go. But when there's no genuine need, and you're socializing, you're mixing up, so it has its effects. Similarly, the cell phone, internet, magazines, books, that's also relating, you're also talking, you are socializing, you understand? There's also a type of socializing, interaction, association. You can't say it's not an association, it's an association. That book is reading to you, it's telling you, it's shaping your mind, it's shaping your concepts, that book, that literature, what you're listening over the radio, what you're seeing on the television, what you're listening over the cell phone. Thing is, right, this doesn't concern you. Leave me out. Count me out. And I tell you how much more you can get. How much more you can get. My friend was here more than you. Just look after yourself. He says, one student of his, he makes zikr in a day approximately 150,000 times. Allahu Allah. Just that zikr, Allahu Allah. How much? 150,000 times. Unnecessary use of the eye, avoid, and tongue. And I told you what tongue means, association, all that, right? But you avoided that, and how much you could achieve. Now we think, hey, how he did it, how he managed doing it. Yeah, you try, you'll get it. He tried, and he scored it. But now you go and allow your time to be just usurped in this way. So how are you going to get that? Allah Ta'ala told you.